people have tried to make various pictures of the Trinity. I mean, there are completely useless ones, like the Trinity is like a shamrock with the three leaves. You may have heard that one. The Trinity is so not like a shamrock, because the leaves are parts of the shamrock, but Father, Son, and Spirit are not parts of a God who is divisible into parts. The Orthodox Christian world has a rather interesting take on making pictures of the Trinity. They say you can't. But what you can do is you can make a picture of that story in Genesis when three angels visited Abraham and Sarah to tell them that they were going to have Isaac as a child. You can make a picture of the three angels that were understood to be symbols of the Trinity. In the Western Church, we've been a bit bolder, although not always terribly successful, at making images of the Trinity. I put on the front cover of the Order of Service something which I saw on holiday 3 and a bit weeks ago in Narbonne, which absolutely fascinated me. I'm sorry, it's not a very clear picture, because this was the best I could find at the internet, and I didn't have a camera with me. But this is a Flemish tapestry made round about the year 1500, it's quite a large tapestry. It would fill the end wall of the sanctuary. And it shows the creation of the world. It's an illustration of Genesis 1. And I think you can see here how the Holy Trinity, as a sort of divine committee joined at the hip, is going round doing things. Those three crowned figures that you see, each of them looking slightly like a young King Charles I, is the person of the Trinity. In the top left-hand corner of yours, you've got the Trinity deciding that they're going to make the world. And then as you move down in the picture, you see them making the sun and the moon and the stars. There's a rather charming picture on the right, which doesn't show up in your picture, of the Trinity making all the fishes. And then there's another scene that shows the Trinity deciding what to do about the redemption of humankind. It's an interesting picture, because at least it makes the point that it wasn't God the Father, old man in the sky with a beard, who made the world, as Michelangelo so falsely represented it on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. What a good thing it would be for Christian theology if we could whitewash the ceiling of the Christian chapel and expunge that highly misleading image from our minds. This falls into the opposite trap. This rather suggests that there are three gods. We need a mental picture. Okay, here's a mental picture, a very famous one, that St. Augustine, the great Augustine of Hippo, came up with. Think of the human mind, he says. The human mind is one, but there is in the human mind memory, intelligence, and will. And when we remember or understand or will something, these are quite different operations. But it's the one undivided human mind that's doing them. The human mind is not divided into these three things. To take a random example, supposing your wedding anniversary is coming up and you remember this. So that's your memory remembering. And then your intelligence goes to work and says, I probably ought to get a card or some flowers for my other half, because he or she might be upset if if I don't give evidence of having remembered. That's your emotional intelligence getting to work on the problem. And then your will says, so I will go up by the library and I'll buy some flowers from Jess's flower store. Memory, intelligence, and will. Forget what you might know about the way in which modern brain science locates these activities in different parts of the cerebral cortex. Just think of it psychologically, how you experience it. Memory and understanding and will, they're different. They're completely different. And yet they are, it's the one mind that is doing them, that, as it were, contains the threeness. That's a famous analogy. It breaks down like all analogies do, because it can't quite do the fullness of the three and the perfect simplicity of the one. The big meeting in 381, the one that gave us our creed, was chaired by a great friend of the person I was quoting earlier, a bishop of Nazianzus, Gregory of Nazianzus, one of the most interesting theologians or philosophers of his or of any generation. And he said this about the Trinity: you can't understand it. This is a man who spent his professional life thinking as hard as he could about it. You will never understand it, because the infinity of God is beyond any human mind to grasp. But you must make the effort, because, he says, this is about the grammar of how God is love. not how God is loving, because God is not, love is not an activity that God engages in, as he might also engage in creating or redeeming or doing anything else. God is love. It is his very being. He is constituted as love, which is why love is always in the end triumphant in the universe. It must be, because that is what God is. And the doctrine of the Trinity is about how God is love. How there is, in God's own being from eternity, a dynamic, a movement of creative love, a movement of self-giving love, a movement in which the Father eternally begets his Son, whom he loves, and the Son responds in love to the Father, and the Spirit dances and sparkles between them. There is this mutual bond of love that ties the Trinity together. God is love. And the Trinity is about how God is love. And that, says Gregory of Nazianzus, is why it really matters that we think as hard about it as we can. Attack it with all your mind, he says. Come to it with all your heart, and you will retire baffled because your finite mind cannot understand. But you will have been changed in the attempt. And in trying to understand, in trying to love, your heart will have grown larger and your mind will have grown stronger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.